You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
It is hour number two. Join the intern getting set to take on Andre Harrison here. No, he's not. We do have a fight.
I've already been stretching, Gus.
See, he's got a nickname, The Bull. What would be your nickname if you ever fought or did anything?
I mean,
you The Intern.
The Intern.
There it is.
That is the Intern.
It's Jordan the Jackal. You would be, because you'd be running around everywhere. Coming up later this hour, Tim Rebo, head coach of the Nicholls State Colonels, Glenn Gilbo, Gary Smith. We'll cover LSU and Tulane as well. So, jam-packed first hour. It's also Tunes Tuesday, so local music in and out of breaks. We just featured Clarence Johnson, now teaching kids up at a magnet school as well, and it'll be down in town coming up on Friday. If you want to go check them out, the old Mint building right there in Decatur, 2 p.m. So we're going to be going back and forth. And Jordan, we got a lot more music coming in now into the Dropbox. So what's his name? Poe?
Austin Poe.
Austin Poe. He sent a video. It's awesome.
A music this, video.
Music video. So this is going well. We're going to have a little fun. First off, though, coming up on Friday, this weekend, little MMA action. So to the Cajun nut jobs down there in the bayou, pay attention. You have somewhere to be this Friday. It's pretty cool. It's called the PFL, and it's the playoffs. We all know about playoffs, obviously, in sports everywhere else. It's the Professional Fighters League. It kicks off the 2018 playoffs here in New Orleans on October 5th. It's Friday. And it's the first global MMA league where individual athletes compete in a regular season, then win in advanced playoffs, and then season-ending championships. Andre Harrison's joined us here in studio. I think that's got to be cool for you because unlike normal MMA or even in boxing, promoters and people got to set up these fights. Here, you win, you go on, and you advance.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool, man. It's the first ever. It's never been done before. And the pool that we're fighting for is, you know, that definitely is like the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. So I'm excited, man. I'm pumped up.
Did I read that right? It says $10 million?
You did read that right, yeah.
See, Jordan, there you go. I mean, that's gas money, my friend,
the jackal,
right there.
The jackal.
You like that? How did you come up with the nickname The Bull, man?
I'm a Taurus, and my first tattoo ever was I got a bull tattooed on my arm, and then it kind of just stuck in. You know, I happen to be like a superhero type strong, you know, so it just went hand in hand.
I like that. What do you weigh?
At the moment, I weigh 151.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
See, I'm 200. There's not a shot, right? I mean, how quick could you move and all that? What kind of style? Obviously, MMA fighters tend to have different styles, right? Some like to be on the floor. Some like use the kicks and the punches. What are you?
I like, I do it all. I grew up wrestling. And then I took on kickboxing and jujitsu and Muay Thai, and you do it all. When MMA first came out, it was I like to think of it like people just arguing like my style is better than your style, and they would all fight to see whose was better. But then certain people were losing a certain style, so they was like, let me learn that so I can better defend it. And then before you know it, everybody became good at everything. So in this day and age of MMA, you can't just be well-versed in one discipline and think you're going to make it far. You have to be, you know, knowledgeable and good in every field.
Obviously, when UFC is, you know, it's what everyone really knows, everything. How is the PFL a little different than UFC, other than, like I just said, it's a regular season and postseason?
It's a lot different. I feel like UFC is, like, more mainstream. Like, you got to remember, with PFL, this is the first time it's ever being done. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So a lot of people, I feel like they're kind of sitting back and waiting and wanting to see what's actually going to happen. But I feel you know, UFC's been around for so long that everybody associates MMA with UFC, and that's not really the case. There's a lot of other promotions out there. You have Bellator, you have ONE FC, and they all pay really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to think PFL pays really well also. And, right. You know, I feel like the more promotions that pop up that are paying fighters and making them feel like they are professional athletes, you know, they're going to gain a serious popularity with the fight fans.
Speak with Andre Harrison. He'll be fighting on Friday. Alexander Becerra will be your opponent. We'll get a little bit more into that here in a quick second. It's interesting looking how the playoffs did. So what, you started with 12. Now there's 8 that make the postseason. And it's just how many wins and loss records, what it goes down to?
No, you fight twice in the preseason. And based upon your points, they seed you top 8. So you go in into the playoffs. The first Friday night, it would be quarterfinals and semifinals. So, again, first ever that MMA is doing 2 fights in one night.
How challenging is that?
I grew up wrestling, man. I'm accustomed to it. There's really nothing that's a curveball to me at this point in time in my life.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm fine with wherever anything goes. I'm easy going.
When you train for these type of fights, because, again, it's not as many rounds as boxing could eventually get to, do you have a sort of try to make it, you know, get over it as quickly as possible? Do you try to see what your opponent can sort of do? Or do you honestly just play it on the fly and see what comes your way?
I mean, at the end of the day, it is a fight. And whether you're hitting somebody or being hit, it does hurt. You know, there's times where your hands hurt, your shins hurt and everything. And so, I mean, you would like to go out there and get it done, you know, as quickly as possible. At this stage in my career, there's no, like, easy fights where you can go and get somebody out of there in 20 seconds. You know, mm-hmm. It'd be nice. I'm definitely going to shoot for that. But it's very difficult, you know. So, you know, you want to go out there and get it out, you know, as quick as possible. But you got to be controlled because, like you said, one of the big differences between MMA and boxing is also the gloves. You know, boxers fight with boxing gloves. They're big, you know, 8 ounces. We fight with MMA gloves, it's half that. It's 4 ounces. It's pretty much like a piece of leather over your knuckles.
Right.
And so.
So you feel the fist, is what you're saying.
You can feel the fist, or you can feel the bare shin or right. bare knee. And they don't right. feel good. You don't want to really feel those too often. So, you know, you gotta be controlled.
Look, I'll be honest. Like I've said this before. I mean, boxing is something to watch too. I don't know how you guys do it. I don't know how you train for this because you have to get into it to train and feel that way and do that, right? I mean, how do you start into this? And it's just, I guess.
I mean, I'm
because you mentioned some of the different things, right? Jiu-jitsu and all that other stuff.
Everything.
Is that how you maybe start into it? Learning how to defend yourself in attack?
Man, I grew up wrestling, man, right. And it was just like the next transition. Going and wrestling at a you know, a level outside of college would be like Olympic level. And, you know, by that time frame, I had already had 6 amateur fights, and I fell in love with MMA because it was so much new stuff to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And it just opened my eyes, like, you know, the martial arts is bigger. I didn't even realize martial arts is something that I wanted to do. But, you know, in starting my amateur career, you learn that wrestling is just one of the many, many, many disciplines. And I'm a super competitive person. I wouldn't even let my 6-year-old daughter beat me in a game of basketball. Super competitive. And so, you know, just I feel like it's the ultimate competition. You challenge yourself in everything in any way possible. You know, you have to be strong. You have to be fast. You have to be disciplined in times where that's going to be extremely difficult.
Right.
And so, you know, for me, it's you cannot challenge yourself in a better way.
That's awesome. Again, this Friday, the playoffs underway for the PFL. It's at the Ernest N. Morial Convention Center, October 5th. And what, it's featherweight and heavyweight. And mm-hmm. then the next day, Long Beach, California, is the lightweight and light heavyweight. Mm-hmm. And in D.C., 2 days from now on Saturday, the 20th, a week later, rather, on the 20th, mm-hmm. middleweight and welterweight. And then the championships in New York. You say you were from New York during the break there.
The good old Rotten Apple.
Can you imagine that? How big would that be, man, to make it there?
Man, I fought in Madison Square Garden now.
Oh,
twice.
There you go. Okay.
And I also fought at Nassau Coliseum. All compliments to the chef in being a PFL. And the first time I fought at Madison Square Garden, it was like I just barely got in there. It was like by the skin of your teeth. And I was mm-hmm. so excited because as an athlete, as a performer, you know, Madison Square Garden is like the top of the podium where you can do anything at, whether it be comedy, fighting, whatever, you know. So to be able to, you know, do it, it was like a notch off my bucket list. I was like, man, this is dope. Mm-hmm. The second time I fought there, I was the main event, and, you know, I went from being second on the card to now being the main event on the card on the first ever PFL fight, and it was just an amazing experience. You had players from the, you know, Giants and Jets that were there. You had famous rappers that were there.
Uh-huh.
So much of my family and friends, people that I had no idea was going to show up. I see walking out. People legitimately traveled all the way out from California to come watch the fight.
You got
to
stay focused on that fight.
It was like, and I do tend to like, there are plenty of times, if you ever watch any of my earlier fights, I would, you'd catch me peeking out into the crowd every once in a while, or, you know, I stop and stare at my coach, and you can hear him cursing at me, saying, keep your eyes on the person in front of you, and, you know, but, yeah, man, it was a dope experience.
Well, that's awesome, man. Well, look, we wish you luck. Obviously, thank you for stopping by as well. You see the sweatshirt, he's got Bull.
Oh, yeah.
Saying you need something that says enter.
Oh, yeah.
The Jackal. That's right. Jackal. We came with the Jackal. I like
that. Yeah, why don't I want to get that kind of stuff over here?
Because you haven't earned it yet. Alexander, Bessera, what kind of fighter you're expecting here on Friday?
Well, first off, he's a world class jiu-jitsu practitioner, and second off, I
world class.
And here's a funny story: I actually fought him before. Mm-hmm. I fought him for my fourth title defense in a different league, and we went to a unanimous decision. I beat him, and it was definitely a tough fight. He's a tough, solid dude all the way through, and funny, not funny, I didn't realize that he had wrestled. So I thought I would have the upper hand there. And the morning of the fight, I happened to just glance and saw that he has several wrestling matches. So it was like, oh, shoot. this is going to be a war.
Right.
But it was a cool fight. I learned a lot about myself during that fight. And, you know, I'm excited to get back in there and, you know, show him that that wasn't a fluke, mm-hmm. and that, you know, this is what it is.
Well, at least you have a little bit of knowledge of what your opponent's going to be, so that obviously helps.
Oh, definitely, yeah. You want to, you know, some people don't like to, you know anything about their opponents. Mm-hmm. You know, I do want to know a little bit, but at the end of the day, you have to make the person fight your fight. You can't go in there and fight their fight. Otherwise, you start off losing.
Ticketmaster.com, that's the way to go get your tickets at the convention center over on Friday. Go check it out. At 9 o'clock, I think everything gets started?
The first round, I want to say, starts at 6 o'clock. And if you do go on Ticketmaster and you use promo code Harrison, you will get 50% off of whatever ticket you decide to buy. So don't be bashful to put in that name.
There you go. Promo code Harrison. Hey, can anybody follow you on Twitter? You got a Twitter, Instagram?
Yeah, I do. If you go on Instagram, it's Dreadable MMA 145. If you go on Facebook and Twitter, it's just Dre the Bull.
Dre the Bull, easy enough, man. We'll throw that out there as well. Dre the Bull.
I appreciate it.
Hey, man, thank you for stopping by a little bit, man.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
And thank you for not hurting the jackal.
I'll try. I mean, it's not promised that you might see me on the way out.
Thank you so much. Hey, when we come back, Tim Rebo, head coach of the Nicholls State Colonels, joins us. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Some more Clarence Johnson as we head on into the break.
Watch out, the holiday season is near, and it's never too early to plan for those parties. You know, all the cooking, baking, roasting, keeping it cold, keeping it hot, getting ready, you know, whoa, slow down, relax. Let Cashio's Catering relieve the stress that comes with those festive holiday meals. Ooh. From family get-togethers where you can just pick up your meals, to large corporate events where Cashio's will actually do the catering. Go to Cashio's.com, check out the menus, and discuss the details with their experienced consultants. Start planning now. Cashio's Catering for the holidays.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, finances, and insurance? Let State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and Cutoff help you to simplify and get to a better state. Because with Ashley Barrios handling your home, auto, and life insurance, you'll have more time for everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies could mean earning discounts worth up to 40%. Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios today and get to a better state with State Farm.
If pests are pestering you, call the experts at Terminix. They'll rid your home or business of disease-carrying rats, mice, roaches, spiders, even crazy ants. Call your local pest control experts at Terminix for a free inspection. Terminix also offers home insulation. In La Rose, call 693-3152. That's 693-3152. 693-3152. Terminix, power over pests.
Bright Supermarket is focused on customer service, quality products, competitive prices, and specialized service to the offshore oil industry. Let Frank's Catering Department do the cooking for you. The bakery has fresh breads and rolls, sandwich trays made daily, veggie trays, chicken salad, homemade chili, cakes, and pies. Need catering for a wedding, bridal shower, funeral, corporate meeting, or home party? Call Frank's Supermarket today in La Rose, Golden Meadow, Lockport, and Des Almas. Online shopping now available at franksupermarket.com.
Talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back. Tunes Tuesday. Gonna focus on music from the state of Louisiana. Little New Orleans, a little Bayou North Shore as well. Feel free. Sports Hangover Music at gmail.com is the way to send us over your music. A little MP3 if you can, and we'll go in and out of break. So artists you know and artists you should know. We'll have a little fun with that as well. Songs of upcoming events, you know, games or whatever. You can feel free. Have a little fun with that. Maybe head coach Tim Rebo, Nicholls State Colonels. Can you sing, coach? Can you put together a little something?
Boy, I tell you what, y'all don't want any of that. I love music. I'm not musically inclined, I'll tell you that.
All right, well, you know, if it's anybody on your team wants to get something going, just send it our way, man. We'll use it. Coach, how are you this afternoon?
Well, actually, coming off a big win is always a good thing. It, you know, we joke and laugh. It just makes everything a little bit better that next week. You know that.
No, no doubt. A great weekend all around the state. Really, a lot of teams getting big wins, 50-27. I finally feel like I can start the conversation with, Coach, you're moving the ball down the field, but you're settling for field goals. You put some points on the board this week.
Yeah, you know, that was a big emphasis this week. We, you know, even right up to the team meeting before we took the field, a couple of things that we wanted to do. We wanted to make sure we had some explosive plays. And I don't know if we had like 13 or 16 explosive plays. And we talked about finishing drives. And that was always big. And look, you know, we love to put points on the board. You love three. But as Coach Rob Christoffel, the offensive coordinator, says, the best play we have in the kicking game is that one that's called an extra point, meaning you scored that touchdown.
When you look at those points going up there, obviously, look, offense, defense really contributed on that. And look, 613 yards of offense. Do we start with quarterback Chase Fourcade, 5 TDs, 3 in the air, and 2 on the ground?
Yeah, you know, if you talk first, you know, shoot, defensively, we got the first touchdown on a pick six, which was really, really nice for us to have. And then Chase had a really, really good night. He threw for 299, and he was joking about, man, Coach, I got to find one more yard somewhere, you know, that he can throw for that 300. But he did a great job of running the offense. And he was even talking about he was not that sharp in the first quarter. He was a little high on some throws. And then he settled down in the second and the halftime and talked and really, really ran the offense well. And he picked it out. He spread the ball around, which was really liking. Anytime you can do that and get a bunch of people involved in your offense and scored from the receivers to the running backs. And then he did a good job towards the end, too, picking his spots and pulling it in the run game and rushing for a couple touchdowns, too.
Speaking with head coach Tim Rebo, coming off of another big win this past weekend. They'll play the in-state opponent coming up this week, and we'll get to that in a quick second. Julian Gums, what a game for a freshman in his debut there. 10 carries, 152 yards, a 68-yard TD run. Not a bad way to introduce himself to everyone.
Yeah, I was just trying to say, who is this crazy coach who hadn't played this guy earlier?
You know, I mean, you know, there were people in the stands that said that, right?
Yeah, believe me, I know it. You know, he had been close the last couple of weeks, but to be fair to him, too, we were deciding what to do with him. You know, you had Bussey, you had Dontrell Taylor, you had Kyron Irvin, three good backs. And he said, well, is it fair? How many carries a game is he going to get? You know, so that probably wouldn't have been fair to him. Dontrell Taylor goes out before the game with an illness. So he has been preparing. Julian has. He practices so hard. He has been being patient. And we always tell those guys, even though when your number is going to be called, that you have to be ready. And I tell you, boy, he was ready. And I was just so proud of him. And that first carry, he ran for first down. And then he was almost running like a man possessed. He was just running over people, making cuts. And that long touchdown run was really, really nice to see.
Coach, you know, obviously when you have that and you find, you know, another weapon or somebody else that can do that, it always helps that backfield and keeping legs fresh, and that puts a strain on the opposing defenses.
Well, it's a long year, and we tell everybody that. And you got to know, getting to a game, you might have to pound the football some, and some guys may get dinged up a little bit. And you always like to have those fresh legs. And we spoke about it the week before, where three running backs with the balanced attack with, you know, 14, 13 carries each. And then this week you bring in another guy that has some fresh legs, and it's another thing that somebody has to prepare for. And also, I think their styles are a little different. So, you know, now you get Julian in there, who's I don't want to say a little more of a bruising back, but he can run over some people. He proved that the other day. And then he can still get to the outside a little bit with a little bit of speed. So if you can spread that ball around, I think it just makes it a lot tougher on the defenses.
You know, Coach, obviously having a couple of games at home obviously was the right medicine that you guys sort of needed there and get that the wins. And it's the streak going, right? It's like the movie Major League. Now you got a winning streak going. In-state opponent.
Too,
yeah, Northwestern. Look, it's always interesting when you go up to Natchitoches.
Always, and all of, you know, those guys on Northwestern's team, there's a bunch of guys, you know, running back Jared West and all the receivers. I mean, they know each other, you know, some of them went to school together, so that makes it more interesting. I think you throw into the deal, you're playing for a trophy, you know, a trophy game, and whatever you name them, when you're playing an in-state school and you can go do that, that makes it more interesting. And it's a conference game, so. You know, they're sitting there going, I think they're 1-1 going, hey, we knock off Nicholas, we're 2-1, we're ready to go and make a run. And we're saying here, yeah, you know where we are, we stand, we're 2-1. We need to go up and try to be 3-1 and try to stay atop this conference. So there's so much at stake. It's a tough place to go play. I think Brad Laird is doing an outstanding job getting those guys on a roll. They're moving the football. They're playing better defense. It's going to be a tough battle on Saturday night.
Coach, it's hard to believe 5 games already under the belt, 6 left. I mean, you know, if it was 12, we'd have, you know, pretty much the midway point of the season. What kind of football team do you think you have right now?
Well, you know, it's funny we talk about it. My AD comes in here all the time, Matt Rohn, and I remember him saying a couple weeks ago, man, I can't believe the season's here already. And now, you know, he comes in this week and says, man, I can't believe we played 5 games already. I said, I know, man, stop saying that. The season's going to be over before you know it. I think we got a seasoned team. We got a veteran team. We got a team that I think they think, which is good, that we're never out of any game. You know, we can go in and compete. They also understand that it's what they do during the middle of the week that's really, really important. And that's a sign of a mature team that knows we got to have good practices and, in order to show up on Saturday. And sometimes, you know, you don't play your best and you might be able to get away with it, but when you're playing a really good team, you better be on. And I think that's where the leadership of Chase and Hezekiah White and Darryl Adams and some of those guys are starting to show up about, hey, man, we better bring our hard hats every day and come to work.
Well, yeah, 2 straight at home. Over at Guidry Stadium, and now it's back on the road, 2 straight. Northwestern State and Abilene Christian over there in Abilene, Texas, Coach, before homecoming. And, you know, look, if anything, you guys know what it's like to travel on the road.
Yeah, I thought over the last, if you know, we always talk about every team is different and every year it's different. But I think these guys who've been with us a couple of years, they know how to travel. And I think we traveled well. We established that a couple of years ago that we can go to play in some tough places. We can go to Hammond and win. We went to Lamar. We went to Stephen F. Austin. We can go to some of those places and really compete and know how to be successful. So I think some of that, you know, needs to carry over into this year's team. We went to Kansas and, you know, won a tough one in front of a big crowd over there. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Tulane was almost like a home game. We had so many people there. We didn't play well. Tough game on the road against McNeese. We didn't come out fast. So I think that's going to be a big key also. But hopefully that maturity level about how to travel and prepare on the road, we got a bunch of guys who've been there and done that.
At Nichols FB is the way to follow the Colonels over on Twitter. Moved up a little bit. Appreciate and look forward to our chats on Tuesday afternoon at 1:15 right here in your home for Colonel Football, ESPN New Orleans. Enjoy the game on Saturday night. Again, 7 p.m. is the kickoff for Coach Rebo and his team as they take on Northwestern. Quick break. When we come back, we'll talk with Glenn Gilbo and talk a little bit of LSU as the Tigers move on over to Gainesville to take on Florida. His storylines going into that. Gary Smith at 1:45 as well. Don't forget it's Tune Tuesday. Tunes Tuesday. Were you a little nervous when the bull was right in front of you?
I'm not going to lie. I was sweating a little bit. My palms were getting sweaty. Knees weak. Arms were heavy.
Yeah.
You know that's wrong?
I think you just rapped. Did you just rap?
Eminem.
As you kept going, I was like, that sounds really familiar. Look at you. You want to be a part of Tunes Tuesday, don't
you? Yeah.
We're getting a lot of really good, they're starting to fly in now. SportsHangoverMusic@gmail.com. Clarence Johnson led things off at 12:45. Mariah
is up next.
Is up at 1:45.
I feel like I'm doing American Idol.
Yeah, that's how it works. We're going to go back and forth there and things. So don't go anywhere. We've got plenty to get into. Glenn Gilbo, Gannett News Services, USA Today, at LSU Beat, tweet on Twitter. All of that is up next on ESPN New Orleans.
Oh yeah, for over 65 years, Golden Motors has been your local Chevy Buick new car dealer. I'm sure you've seen us around supporting our local schools, charities, and organizations. That's just our way to say thanks to all of you for being there for us at Golden Motors. Looking for a new Chevy or Buick? Or looking for that new or pre-owned any make and model? Give us a call at 325-1000 or visit us on the World Wide Web at goldenmotors.com. Golden Motors, Chevy, find new roads.
Every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town. And we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridge Lake Drive in Metairie.
Napa Know-How. This month, a two-pack of Napa Night Vision headlamps is up to $10 off. Plus, our headlamps have superior illumination, so you can see better and drive safer. With up to $10 off a two-pack of Napa Night Vision headlamps. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer ends 10/31/18.
Rogers Parts, nationally known, locally owned. Lockwood, Market City, Lavenderville, Rose, Galliano.
Listen to Against the Spread.
Against the Spread.
Saturday mornings at 9:30 with Sean Salisbury and Kevin Todd, the nation's number one handicapper. Kevin turns outcomes into incomes. It's Against the Spread. Saturday mornings, 9:30 on ESPN New Orleans.
Your life is mobile. So is your bank. As a State Bank and Trust Company account holder, you can check your balances, view transactions, transfer funds, and pay bills anywhere or anytime with State Bank and Trust Company's online banking or mobility app. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
At Thibodeau Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrades 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
The new week of college football and the NFL kick off on Thursday night, and we're here to feel that kick with Game Time. Thursday nights, join me and John Forte as we come to you live every Thursday night from the Dock and Slide L, 118 Harborview Court. Come on out Thursday nights and be a part of the show, where you can simply enjoy the Dock's delicious menu with such favorites as Oysters Rockefeller, char-grilled oysters, and the classic stuffed crab. And no, we didn't forget drink specials. So join us Thursday nights at the Dock, 118 Harborview Court in Slide L, 6 to 8 p.m. on ESPN New Orleans.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Welcome to Tuesday. We're going to feature New Orleans artists, Metro Area, North Shore, the Bayou, the state of Louisiana, basically. In and out of breaks will be nothing but local. And including artists you know and don't know. Frogman Henry there.
I sing like a girl.
Here from Clarence Johnson.
And I sing like a frog.
Back at 12:45 coming up next segment. Lia Loyal. Coming up.
Ooh.
We're going to do this every Tuesday. Glenn Gilbo, can you sing a tune? Do you want to be part of Tunes Tuesday?
I'm good, man.
The most simple answer.
Yeah. Coach Rebo and you right on the same plane right there saying, no, nah, well, good. We'll let the audience do the singing. At LSUB tweets, the way to follow Glenn Gilbo covers the Tigers for the Gannett News Services. USA Today, the works. You know who Glenn is. Glenn, LSU over Ole Miss, an impressive win to me. And I asked the question to LSU fans yesterday. What's the one takeaway you take from that win? To me, it's Joe Burrow. To me, just continues to grow. That offense continues to expand a bit. You saw the passing game, a few more receivers get involved with some big plays. His run as well. That's what I took out of the game. What did you take out of the win against Ole Miss?
Oh, I think it was Joe Burrow. And just amazingly, no quarterback has ever had a game like that. You know, somebody who threw for 292 yards and almost threw for 100. You know, all the greatest passing games in LSU history, the quarterback didn't run for hardly anything. You had a couple of games by Herb Tyler where he ran for a decent amount and threw for 100 or so and maybe 200, but never 292. I mean, he almost threw for 300 and ran for 100. That's never been done by an LSU quarterback, which, you know, tells you a little bit about the bleak history of a quarterback at LSU. It's been here and there, but especially they've never really had a dual threat quarterback that's really a threat on both sides, throwing and running. And, you know, Burrow is, he's not a great runner, but he's a very good runner, and he gives, and in this day of RPOs, you know, he gives LSU a very good option there. So we're going to continue to see him running the ball.
I think the thing also that stands out when it comes to Joe Burrow to me, Glenn, is it's just confidence in running the offense, decision making. The fumble, good hit, him trying to get extra yards. But for the most part, I don't get that sense of dread when you see a pass called and the quarterback drops back and you go, oh no, you know what I'm saying? Like the emoji where you have one hand over your eye because you want to watch, but you don't because it might be a throw into coverage or an overthrow. You get the sense that when that back foot hits, he knows where he's going with the football.
Yeah, and it's rare that LSU's got a quarterback that when you go into a game, he's a positive. You know, a lot of times in the past, it's, oh, well, if this quarterback can just not messed up, they might have a chance. Whereas, you know, Burrow is like Mettenberger and Russell and Flynn. I mean, he gives you a better chance to win. He does need to fix up he's fumbled twice when he's been sacked.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to clear that up. But, you know, he's thrown no interceptions. He's got six touchdowns. He's pretty accurate. And, he's just a gamer. I really like how they've run them here and there. You know, they don't run them a lot, but they run them just enough to keep the opponent guessing. And, he's a good scrambler, and he's a team leader. There's no question about it.
Speaking with Glenn Gilbo at LSUB, tweets the way to follow him over on Twitter. So in the last couple of weeks, after that win against Auburn, you're sort of seeing, Clyde Edwards-Helaire Brissett, a couple of receivers now standing out making some plays, and chasing Jefferson, the quarterback sort of doing that. It sort of looks like the offense is maybe ready to go to that next gear. And it's interesting, you pull up the pregame sort of game cast over on ESPN, and for whatever it's worth, the pregame matchup predictor has Florida at 58% chance to win, LSU 41. They're ranked 22nd. LSU ranked 5th. Tigers only a 2-point favorite. Is it just because it's in Gainesville that people feel that way?
Possibly, Florida's coming off a good win against the ranked Mississippi State team, that is kind of strange to me, especially because LSU was just there last year and won. So I think it's easier to go to a road venue 2 years in a row than spaced out like it usually is. So this is not like a big deal for LSU to go to Florida. And I think LSU does have more impressive wins, significantly more than does Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And Florida has a loss to Kentucky where their offense was not too good. And, Florida's offense is not great. Their defense is pretty good. But I think LSU's going to win this game.
Glenn, when you take a look at the matchups is one thing. Do you have to also look at what Dan Mullen's been able to do? Look, it's two different schools. It's two different years. I get it. Can you take anything what Mississippi State did against LSU last year?
Possibly. They beat him 37-7, but, Nick Fitzgerald is the better quarterback than Felipe Franks.
Right.
But I think Mullen's a heck of a coach. I think he's the second or third best coach in the league and has been for years when you win in a place like Mississippi State. But he just doesn't have his people in there yet at Florida. He inherited a losing team with a really bad offense. And Felipe Franks has been okay. This is something else that's new. LSU has a clear quarterback advantage going into this game. We haven't seen a lot of that. Mullen is doing well against LSU. There's no question about that, especially in recent years. But I think LSU is just a better team right now, regardless of the coach.
Glenn, when you take a look at matchups and things that maybe favor the Tigers or could concern the Tigers, is there anything that really stands out in this matchup on Saturday?
The Florida pass rush and their defense against a young offensive line that is still fighting with some injuries. Now Lloyd Cushenberry is hurt, but he should be okay. They're getting Sadiq Charles back. And what's happened, too, is with the missing players because of injuries and one suspension, these other linemen are getting better. Guys like Jason Hines at left guard and Austin Deculus at right tackle. So, everything about LSU is getting better each week right now, and that includes the offensive line. So I think it'll be a close game, but I think LSU should win by about a touchdown.
Oh, all right, so there you go. The spread just 2. Glenn Gilbo says at least 6-7. A little touchdown there. When you say touchdown, you go in 6 or you go in the extra point, full 7?
You sound like a gambler.
No, I'm just wondering. Because you say touchdown, when I think touchdown, it's 7 points, right?
Yeah, touchdown, you assume they're going to make the extra point. But hey, they didn't last year in Florida. That's why it was 2-1, 17-16. But no, I always mean 7 when I say touchdown.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. You sure you don't want to sing for us, huh?
I can list you some good singers. But,
there you go. Okay, I'll say this. How about this? As we close out, Glenn, is there a Louisiana artist that you enjoy perhaps more than any other artist from this state? Is there one that stands out to you?
I'll tell you, I really like Tab Benoit, the blues guitarist for Huma. And
okay.
He's actually a former LSU kicker. He was on the team briefly back in the 70s as a kicker. But he didn't stay with the team. I met him one time in Houma. But I discovered him like I've discovered a lot of musicians at Jasmine. But I really like Dan. He's a rock.
There you go. Joey, is this him?
All right.
Look at that. There you go, Glenn. Little tab for you.
How about you, Jeff?
Me? Man, I don't... I wish I knew somebody like that. I would probably just say the guys that you sort of know, you know, more than anything. But I like it, Glenn, giving us a little bit of knowledge, not only former LSU player, and then also somebody from down there in the bayou, Joey, from Houma. Quick work, Joey, to find that out for us as well. At LSU B-Tweets, the way to follow Glenn Gilbo. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thank you. Thanks for playing a little tab.
Yep, for sure. There you go. Joey, take us out with that. When we come back, we'll bring in another local artist who's trying to get started here. Raya Loyal is her name. Why she wants you to know what she's all about. We'll do that when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover on Tunes Tuesday. A new segment we're doing each and every, or new thing we're doing each and every Tuesday on the Sports Hangover featuring local artists, or just really Louisiana artists as well. So keep sending them in at sportshangovermusic@gmail.com. sportshangovermusic@gmail.com. Shoot us an MP3. Could be a YouTube link. Could be a SoundCloud link as well. Anything that we can play off of it and get people listening to it. Joey, take us out at ESPN Radio Nola.
Want more from your bank? Open a Cajun Pride checking account at State Bank and Trust Company and enjoy the benefits. Unlimited check writing, overdraft protection, online banking, mobile banking, debit card, ID theft assistance, safe deposit box discounts, prescription drug discounts, shopping, travel, entertainment discounts, and much more. Call or come in for more information about applicable fees and terms. State Bank and Trust Company. Cajun banking served just the way you like it. State Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC.
Hey, hey, Molly Karam here, host of ESPN's First Take, and I am super excited because football is back, and you know where you'll find me this fall, at the game, thanks to Vivid Seats, the official ticket partner of ESPN. With the Vivid Seats app, it's so easy to find awesome seats to any game, and every purchase is backed by their 100% buyer guarantee. Head to VividSeats.com and enter promo code ESPN at checkout to get 10% off your first order. Get in the action with Vivid Seats. Your team needs you.
Guarantee and promotional terms available on VividSeats.com.
What's up, New Orleans? It's Matt Moscona inviting you to join me weekdays from 3 until 6 p.m. for After Further Review. I make you one promise. If you're talking about it, we're talking about it weekdays on After Further Review. Saints, Tigers, Pelicans, we got it all covered weekdays from 3 until 6 p.m. So tune us in and tell a friend. It's After Further Review, weekday afternoons from 3 until 6 on 100.3 ESPN New Orleans.
Vision Communications now offers faster internet in your area with download speeds of up to 25 megs per second. Get the reliability and speed your family needs for online video, telecommuting, and powering multiple devices throughout your home. Connect with friends, play games, or surf the web with the fastest internet speeds in our area. Go to viscom.net or call 798-7956 to learn more. Actual speeds vary, not available in all areas.
Hi, I'm Lindy LaRue with Donlin Construction. Are you thinking about starting a new project? Well, if you have an idea, we'll make it happen. Donlin Construction, a state-licensed contractor, offers many services from site work, concrete paving and foundations, to customized office buildings and warehouses. Whatever service you require, Donlin Construction will make it happen. Just call 985-798-7788. Donlin Construction.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
It is. What you think of this, George? Uh-huh. Snap just comes really naturally, doesn't it? Snap. Snap.
That's not.
I like it.
You
gotta snap.
I am snapping.
Raya Loyal joins us. That's her song, Vibes. What's up, Raya? How you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I'm doing good today.
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for being a part of the show. We're doing Tunes Tuesday, featuring local artists trying to get their music out there and heard. Raya, Vibes, tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's just a fun song. It was good to write. It was, like, really heartfelt. Basically, just good vibes, like, everybody being on a good level, you know, just basically really having fun. You know, music is my passion, so I can write about anything, basically.
I hear you. You know, you and I were talking a little bit last week about how important music is to you. Why is it so important?
Because it's like, I'm going to just say it this way. If I speak and if we talk about, you know, things, I feel like you can't really understand me. But when I do music, I feel like people just have to listen. So that's why I do my best at it, because I feel like it's an escape for me, you know, and it's my real feelings and it's, you know, really how I feel. So I try my best to get people to understand where I really come from.
Nice. So it's definitely an outlet for you and a way for you to express yourself.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talent in this city, isn't there? And it's trying to get out there, and it's important, isn't it?
Yes, it's very important, especially to me. You know, like, I just know that singing is my passion. So I really want people to hear me. I really want people to understand, you know, like, true feelings, because I know there's someone out there that also feels the same way I feel, but probably can't express themselves. So that's what I'm here for, you know. I can hear you, so I'm trying to help out.
Final question for you. What kind of music are you?
Well, I like R&B and hip-hop, so basically R&B.
Mm-hmm. All right, easy enough. And how can folks follow you over on SoundCloud, Raya?
It's Raya Loyal, capital R-Y-A-H, capital L-O-Y-A-L. And you can follow me on Instagram at Raya.Loyal.
Easy enough. Raya, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Yep, for sure. Little Tunes Tuesday. You like this, Jordan?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Shaming. Yep. Gary, can you provide us a little R&B and soul music as well here on this Tunes Tuesday, where we feature local artists? Hey, Gary.
Yeah, I'm here.
He didn't even respond.
I couldn't even respond. I was saying that you would.
I couldn't hear you. You went. I could hear the beginning of your question, and the answer is no. R&B, not my strength at this point in my life. I just gotta let you know.
That. You know what? You got time for the next time we chat again to give us a little. You know, give us a little. I'll work on it.
I gotta work on my R&B game.
There you go. At G-U-E-R Smith is the way to follow Gary over on Twitter. Covers the Green Wave for The Advocate. All right, Gary, simple question. Was last week the biggest win in the Willie Fritz era, the win over Memphis?
Absolutely. You could compare it to the win against Houston at the end of last year, but Tulane was a 4-16 at that time, hoping to get to a bowl game. And that Houston team had also lost on the road at Tulsa, which went 1-7. That was Tulsa's one win last year. I think this was definitely just the comprehensiveness of the win. This was Tulane won with offense, Tulane won with defense, Tulane won with special teams. Tulane dominated the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. Tulane held a Memphis team to under 300 yards. That has not happened since Auburn did it in the 2015 Birmingham Bowl 30 games ago. It was an awfully impressive performance all the way around by Tulane that would have been even more lopsided without some mistakes along the way. But just physically, Tulane just whipped Memphis. So, considering it was the opener of the American Athletic Conference season for Tulane, considering what is in front of Tulane the rest of the way, and considering how much Tulane needed the win after its 1-3 start, that's absolutely the best win in the Willie Fritz era so far.
More impressive for you, the offense or defense in that game?
I'd say the defense, just because Memphis, I don't think Memphis's defense itself is very good. It's not very physical. Memphis's offense is awesome. I mean, the numbers just speak for themselves. They were fourth in the nation in total offense, one spot behind Ohio State. We saw how the Ohio State game went the week before. Darrell Henderson was averaging 12.2 yards per carry, and that's just insane to even talk about with the number of he was leading the nation in rushing while averaging that much. He was getting carries, and nobody has been able to stop that offense, honestly. And Tulane had not been very good defensively in the first four games. A lot of not necessarily young guys, but inexperienced guys out there. It all came together for him, and nobody saw it coming after Darrell Henderson went, 57 yards for a touchdown on Memphis' first offensive play against Tulane. From that point on, Tulane just locked down and dominated. So I'd say the defense to me was the revelation in that game, and that's the biggest sign that this Tulane team can have a lot of success.
Two final questions for you. Gary Smith covers the Tulane Greenway for the Advocate. Way fans got to see at home for the first time Justin McMillan. Now, on the stat box, it just showed a pass, but kind of seemed like he ran the offense.
Yeah, it was first of all, he got hit hard right after that pass, and he saw the guy coming in at him. It was not a hard pass to make, but when you're just coming in cold and it's your first play, to get that ball out, to be comfortable, to show no sign of fear with the guy coming at you was awfully impressive. Jonathan Banks is going to start against Cincinnati. Jonathan Banks had a terrific game against Memphis, but they now know for sure that they have a quarterback that can come in if Jonathan Banks gets hurt or if he has a rough stretch. And that was something that looked like a no chance before Justin McMillan transferred in late August.
You know, I'm with you. I think it was the biggest win in the Willie Fritz era a week ago, and their reward is a 5-0 Cincinnati Bearcat team on the road, which is, I don't know, could be just as pivotal.
Yeah, let me throw this number at you, because people were pretty upset when Fritz started off 1-3 this year. And look, I never criticize long-suffering fans for getting upset, because it's frustrating. That's just a fact when you see a team that you thought was going to have a better year struggle at the start. But this is what he inherited. Starting with the 1991 season, Tulane has won three road games against teams that finished above 500 at the end of the year. That's 27 years, Gus. Three times in 27 years, Tulane has beaten a team on the road that finished above 500. They did it. I mean, that's just unbelievable. I mean, they beat Houston in 2014 with CJ. They beat Cincinnati in 1996 in their season opener, and they beat Hawaii in the Hawaii Bowl in 2002, which was played on Hawaii's home field. That's it. So history says Tulane has no chance to win this game. I think Tulane has a good chance to win this game, because I really think you could see the culture turn in that Memphis game, but it's still a wait. You can't. One game doesn't a season make. Tulane in the past fell flat on its face after any big win they had. That's just the truth. That's what's happened forever. I think this is a huge opportunity. Cincinnati has not played good teams. They have talent. They're really good at the line of scrimmage. Tulane, in no way, shape, or form is Tulane's offensive line going to dominate Cincinnati's front like they did. So it's not going to be easy. But this is just, I think this game is even bigger. If they can back up the Memphis win by winning on the road at Cincinnati, they'll be 2-0, and if they win that game, they'll have a realistic chance to actually compete to win the Western Division in the AAC.
Whoa.
It's just a monumental game.
Well, yeah, monumental game. I'll say this. There's two things that I look at it here in 30 seconds, Gary. It's turnovers, right? The road games this season, they shot themselves in the foot with slow start. You got to get off to a better start in the first half.
Absolutely. And again, Cincinnati, their strength is in the trenches. So UAB kind of pushed Tulane around on the first two possessions in that game too. So Tulane's defense needs to show up, be strong right away. No mistakes. Wave don't beat the wave. See what chance they have. I'll tell you this, Tulane's skill position players are better than Cincinnati's skill position players. They've got a good quarterback. They've got some good players, but they're not nearly as dynamic as Corey Dossine and Taron Onkelad and Darnell Mooney and Darius Bradwell. So if Tulane can hold, not make mistakes, and hold up at the line of scrimmage, just play them fairly evenly, I think Tulane has a good chance to win.
At G-U-E-R Smith. It's the way to follow Garrett Smith over on Twitter. Covers the Greenway for the Advocate. As always, we enjoy when you join us weekly here. Thank you, Gary. Appreciate it, bud.
Thanks for having me on the show.
You know who this band is, huh, Jordan? Local. Come on. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he just gave you half the name.
Who?
Oh, my. It's better than Ezra, man. Come on.
Oh.
Hour 3 coming up next on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.